What is it about a fresh start that we want so much, but nobody wants to give it to us? If I neglect my children, if I am not the father to them that I should be, can I come to them and say, I want a fresh start? Let's just forget that that ever happened. If they were incredible kids, forgiving and merciful, they might do that. Or my wife. What if I mistreated her? And then one day I said, I want a fresh start. Is it that easy? You saw what happened to me on the credit card. Not too many people want to give a fresh start. But we serve a God who does. Whether it's in the book of Genesis, at the fall of man, what does God give man? A fresh start, a hope. What about the flood? The wickedness of man, but God gives man a fresh start. What about Abraham? How God went to Abraham and said, we're going to start anew. I'm going to use you. We're going to build a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And from your seed, great things are going to come. Man will be blessed. What if it's at the foot of Mount Sinai? For 400 years, the children of Israel have been slaves in Egypt, and God gives them a new start, a fresh start, a clean slate. And we can continue on and on. And let me even mention in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the people cry out, what must we do to be saved? And God has a response for them to give them a clean slate. But the story that's more personal to me, even than all of those, and I want you to remember those, is the story that we find in Luke 15, the prodigal son. I've gone ahead and used some of e-Bible teachers' visuals. They said, go ahead, use them. The story almost tells itself. You know the story. Our children know the story. There was a father who had two sons. The youngest son looks to the father and says, I want my inheritance now. I want it now. You know what that's like saying? Dad, I can't wait until you die. Could you just do it right now? Now, you would get an evil look in my family if the children said that to the dad, okay? I would be shocked. I want you to think of this as really something that happens. Something that's horrible, that hurts. What's amazing about that is the father does what? He gives the money to the son. It's like giving the Corvette keys to a 16-year-old boy. It's not going to end well. We know this story because we have lived this story, haven't we? Young people, you don't need to follow this. So many of us have gone down that road. We don't know why our parents told us not to follow God's way. That's the way it was. But we somehow got into our head, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. And so the son takes the money, he leaves to a foreign land, and he, fill in the blank, blows it all on what? Wild living. Boy, is he enjoying the good life. Boy, there are so many things out there that people are saying, just enjoy it. There's even a theology. God wouldn't have made it unless he wanted you to be happy and enjoy it. But it leads to destruction. What happens when you run out of the money having that good time? How long does it take to go through a lifetime of savings? You'd be amazed. And when the son has no money, can he look around? Where are all those great friends? and then a famine comes. Really, God? A famine? Now, I want y'all to think about this. Does God pursue you? Does He love you? If you are messing up so bad, turning against His will, going your own way, do you know a God that would send a famine too? Just for you? To wake you up? To say you can't do it on your own. Your way doesn't work. You have to trust in me. So when he's found and there's a famine, he's got no friends, he's got no money, he hires himself out, and he finds himself working in squalor with pigs. Now, that's not bad enough, is it? He does that long enough, and he thinks, you know what those pigs are eating? And boy, have you ever seen what pigs eat? You'll give up bacon. I say that. I said, sure, as soon as I smell that bacon cooking, But anyways, that's my problem, all right? That's my weakness. But he says, well, that looks good. And then, as parents, something happens that we all pray for. He comes to his senses. He has been humiliated. He has blown it all, but he comes to his senses, and he says, in my Father's house, the servants are better off than I am. If I could only go back, humbly go back to my Father's house, maybe he would welcome me. Not everyone comes to their senses, do they? Some of us die in shame, and we can't go back. We can't admit our own mistake. It's obvious. Everyone knows. You blew it. On your own, you don't have anyone else to blame. You had a father that loved you, who treats his servants well. You know he treats his sons. He loves his sons. But then, the father who gave him that money does something even more amazing. He looks. He sees him, his son, coming in the horizon. And he doesn't want vengeance. He doesn't say the first words out of his mouth aren't, I told you so. It's about time you learned your lesson. He runs to him. That's amazing. It's amazing for an elderly man at that time to run. He's running towards his son. It's more amazing that the God in heaven would run, pursue after you. You're coming home. And he hugs him, smothers him with kisses and hugs. Then it's even more amazing. He's not going to be a servant. He gives him shoes. He gives him a robe. Gives him a ring. All things that say something amazing. I welcome you back as my son. My son. Kind of want the story just to end there, but it doesn't. There's a problem with an older brother, isn't there? The older brother looks at that and says, what is this? You never threw me a party. You never sacrificed the fatted calf. You never did all the things that you're doing. And you know what? For a good chunk of my life, even partially now, he's the only one who makes sense. It's sad, but that's the way the world looks at it. He's the good guy. But there's something wrong in our thinking. We don't think the way God thinks. The father explains, your brother was dead, and now he's alive. Now think about that. Dwell on that. You were dead. Now you're alive. Who wouldn't, even an elder brother, be excited about that? My brother was dead, and now he's alive. We serve a loving God. You notice at the beginning of the story, the son was saying, not thy will, Father, but mine be done. Not thy will, but mine be done. And then he came to his senses. What did he say? He doesn't say it in the text, but what is he willing to be? He's willing to be a servant. I would rather be a servant of my father's than to go on living like this. He says something that's very, very important for us. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. Isn't that the example of Jesus? Isn't that what he did for us? Putting aside his own will, the Son of God? Now, aren't you glad that Father looked forward and not backwards? That Son didn't have to look forward to every day being reminded of what a fool he was, how he had blown it? But he had a father that looked at him again as a son. Aren't we glad God looks forward? Who's caught looking backwards in your life? If you take out a mirror, I could show you. Y'all do. I do. I look backwards. I beat myself up. God's not doing that. We do that to ourselves. We have help. We have help from others. But aren't you glad that you have a God that looks forward? Now, I want you to take this moment, this first day of 2017, I want you to look forward individually and as a church. What do you think God has planned for us? Great things? Oh, yeah. I hope you believe that. There's so much good that can be done. Let's look forward to what's ahead. But you know something that I've learned? When things are going well, somebody's not happy. And you know who that is? Satan. Okay? So if you think things are looking bright, looking good, Satan's ready to pounce. One thing I know about this coming year is there will be good times and there will be bad times. What are we going to do with those times? When there are good times, are we going to praise God? Or are we going to pat ourselves on our back? Well, that was a good program we put in. Oh, I'm so glad we hired that person. Are we going to give credit to who credit is due? The only one who makes great things come out of what man can do is God. And if things are going bad, are we going to reject God and say, I want the easy life? If you have been trying in your own life to make it work on your condition, I hope it's not working out well. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope it's not working out well. I hope that your life is just a mess because you're fooling yourself. If you think you're getting it all together on your own terms, it won't last. It won't last. It's our trust in God, the Father, who's going to allow us to turn those hard times into blessings, into learning experiences, into growth, into humility, into love. God can bring out those good times. Now, Paul, as he writes to the Philippian church, and it's very interesting because they're a lot like we are. They're living in a very secular world, a world that cares about wealth, that cares about prosperity, a hierarchy of things. People willing to anoint themselves as gods. But Paul says something to this church in chapter 4. He says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you who I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Now that first part, I almost want to say, Paul, put an emoji right there. Put a good one right there. Make that. Do you feel the love that Paul writes in those words? My brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for. You think he'd grown up with them. He hasn't known them that long, but he knows they're his brothers and sisters in Christ. His joy, his crown. He says this, stand firm. Now, I hope you read that verse like that. Stand firm in the Lord this way. Which way? Which way? Tell me. Well, that's how he concluded it. Let's go back and look through Philippians. One key point that he mentions in Philippians 1, starting in verse 9, abound in knowledge. Now, did you see that coming? If you want to be successful this year, meeting the things that are ahead of us, meeting the challenges, what do you need to be into? Knowing God, knowing His Son, knowing the Spirit. And that's going to be diving into the Word. Let's read the verse. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Where's that going to come from? We're going to have to be into His Word. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I just want to underline that. Who are these good things going to be for? Who do we need to acknowledge? The praise and glory of God. We're going to need to abound in knowledge. It's okay. Be a daily Bible reader. Search the Scriptures daily. Be a Berean. I encourage you to do that. Be here for Bible classes. Teach other people. What a great way to be involved in the Word and abounding in knowledge. The next thing he says is found in verse 27 of chapter 1. Live worthy lives. Let Christ make a difference in your life. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, together, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Live worthy lives. In chapter 2, he drives further, be imitators of Christ. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to death, the death on the cross. Be imitators of Christ. Is God going to ask you to do anything he hasn't been willing to do himself? He sent his Son to imitate his will, to show how we should live. Where are you going to find out about Christ? How to imitate him? Study of his Word. There's other areas, being around people that are like Christ. If you are negative, if you think everything is bad, I have some advice for you. Don't hang around people that agree with you. Don't do that. What should you do? Seek out people who see what God can do. Have optimism in the future. You can use that in so many ways. If you have trouble and you're slipping into old ways, old habits, you know, without almost with certainty, what we know is you're hanging around what? Old friends, old acquaintances. Hang around people that help you to be better. I'm not saying abstain from anyone who's a sinner. I'm not saying don't reach out to people. But be conscious about how that influences you, how you influence them. Now, let's go on to chapter 3. And this is important. Put no confidence in the flesh. I was kind of kidding. I said, you can be a daily Bible reader. Woo-hoo. You can have been to every church service in 2017. We don't get to boast about that. Even if we go all year long, we don't get to boast about our actions. Who's done the work? Who did the forgiving in the parable of the prodigal son? Who gets to boast? Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in who? Christ Jesus, and who put on confidence and put no confidence in the flesh. If things are great next year, it's not going to be because of great programs. It's not going to be because of great people. It is going to be because God wills it. God blesses it. Can we say an amen on that? I was a little weak. Who are we going to give credit? Give God the glory. Rely on Him. Don't think it's because of our great ideas. Oh, I think we need to be a part. He wants us to be a part. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17, because I think this is so important. It may not have made anyone's top five list in the commentators on Philippians, but I think it is so important. Join together. Can one person make a difference in this world? Yes. Look at Jesus Christ. Can one Christian do some good? Make a difference in a family? Yes. What if everybody was on the same page in that family? What if everybody was doing what they can to serve God, to glorify God, to know God? Would that be an awesome family? Let's expand that. What if there was a church where everybody was seeking to do God's will, seeking to glorify Him, giving God the glory, trying to live worthy lives for the sacrifice that was given? Would that be a great church? Oh, yes. Who wouldn't want to be a part of such a church? If we join together in following Paul's example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Who are the fired up people in the congregation? Who are the people who are always trying to see about doing more? Seeing opportunity, maybe start hanging around them, maybe start encouraging them, maybe even stop criticizing them. They're trying, they're doing. And ask yourself, what am I doing? What more can I do? Christ died for me, but what can I do for Him? What can I do for a Father who loves me so much? He runs out to me with open arms, greets me in spite of the horrible way I treated him. I love that man. I love that God. I love His Son that He gave as a sacrifice for us. That's an amazing God. What if we join together? Just in closing, Paul summarizes just what I have been telling you. In 2017, let's be sure that we're following these words. Rejoice, church! Rejoice at every opportunity. Rejoice! Be enthusiastic about what God is doing in this community, in the world, in our outreach. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice! Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Church, if you think Paul wrote that, and that was true then. It is certainly true now. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by what? We need to be a church of prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What do idle hands bring about? What do idle hands bring about? You see, no good, right? What can we do if we get busy for the Lord? And let's continue. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What are some things that meet that criteria? Is it your cable television? Is it the movies that you go to? Is it the books that you read? Is it the friends that you hang around? Is it... I'm picking, aren't I? I could pick it myself. I could do that. But what if we really focused on things that are noble, that are right, that are pure? But what are those things? God, His love, His Son, His Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are great things. Fill 2017 with that. Those of you who know what a TV guide is, put this verse on your TV guide. Put this verse on your calendar. Where are the good things, the noble things? Where are they happening? This church is filled with service opportunities, places to get involved. But you've got needs in your own life, people that you bump into just in commerce, just in your daily life and daily living. You have people that you can reach out to that need that hug from the Father, and you're there to give it to them. If today you have come to your senses, and you've been doing it your way, you've been saying, not your way, God, I'm going to do it my way. But now you're ready to say, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Not my desires, but yours. I'll be patient. I'll wait upon the Lord. If you're ready to make that confession today, or if you need prayers because of the struggles in your life, do that at this opportunity. There's going to be elders in the back of in the foyer. There's going to be elders in the front. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. But we want you to know the love of the Father. Won't you come as we stand and sing?